All right. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? One thing that I really like coming here to the States is that I enjoy the weather. Because in Cambodia, we only have two weathers, like hot and hotter. So, well, you know what? Everybody asks me, like, how's the weather in the United States? So I've experienced snow, rain, and it's pretty cold here. And I enjoy it. So anyway, I just want to say thank you again for your prayers and support for our ministry in Cambodia. Whatever happens in Cambodia or is happening, every soul got saved, every young people who were involved in the ministry, every adult who, you know, have been reached out by the gospel, you all have a great investment in Cambodia. So you might not be there in Cambodia, but your prayers, your supports, so it's such a great help for, you know, for all of us missionaries. And I thank God for the opportunity that I am here finally answering our prayers to visit this church. And I'm so happy to be with you today. So anyway, I'll talk about keep the fire of passion burning in our hearts. So try to imagine a campfire on a cold and dark night. So imagine that you're having camp and then it's dark and then it's cold. So a small flame that promises warm and light. So it starts with the flame. Have you done any like bonfire? So it starts with a small flame, and so it's light. It lights up and it brings light, and also it brings warm. And for us, we need to keep it. We need to put the wood to keep the fire on. If that flame is neglected, if no wood is added, if it's left to the wind and rain, it will inevitably dwindle. The vibrant, crackling fire becomes a bed of cold, gray ash. What was once a source of life and energy becomes nothing but a memory. In many ways, the Christian life is like that fire. You know what? I've been a Christian for 21 years. In August, and there are many moments. There are times that I would, you know, sometimes we're on fire, sometimes not. Sometimes we're on fire again and not. And I've experienced like twice in my life that I really wanted to give up because of a lot of things. I think 2009, I got saved 2005. 2009, I felt like nothing happened, like nothing changed in my life, and I was tired. And then I wanted to stop going to the church. I wanted to stop serving God. And I really, like, I cried and I said, like, Lord, I'm tired. And I plan not to come to the church anymore. So I said, like, I'll just finish 2009 and then I'm gone. I plan to change my SIM card and so that nobody can contact me for some reasons. And then before the end of 2009, so my mentors talked to me and said, like, we're going to give you a new ministry, follow-up ministry. We're going to make you the camp director. And it's like, God worked. And it's like, something like, God doesn't want me to leave the church. But there are moments in our lives that we are, you know, sometimes we're on fire, sometimes we're cold. It begins, the fire in our hearts, the moment we accepted Jesus Christ, the spark is that, you know, the salvation that we receive. Try to imagine these people who first come to know Jesus, the first year of their Christian life, they were really like on fire. Let's go and have Bible study. Let's do discipleship. Let's go and share the gospel. Am I right? Have you experienced that? The moment we accepted Jesus Christ, we're really on fire. And I've seen that also in the mission field. Like 11 years, I've been to different churches also in Cambodia and in the Philippines, and I've met a lot of different people also, and I've experienced it myself also, like, in the beginning of my Christian life, I was on fire. It's like nobody can stop me. Okay? So the moment we first encountered the love of God and the grace of God in our lives, that initial spark ignited a fire within us, our first love, our purpose, and hope. But the question we must honestly ask ourselves today is, how is your fire burning? How is your fire burning in our hearts? Is our hearts still blazing with passionate love for God? Or we just take it like a routine, like coming to the church, just, yeah, every Sunday go to the church, then come back home, and, you know, Is it still radiating with a warm burden to serve his people? And does it cast a light into the darkness, drawing those who are lost to its warmth? The greatest need among believers today is not for more programs, more buildings, or more knowledge. It is for revival of the heart. It is to keep the fire of passion burning. We live in a world that is constantly trying to extinguish our flame. So the pressures of life and destructions of culture. So who among you have challenges in life? Who among you do not have? So everybody has, you know? So there's a lot of things going on in our lives, and I don't know what are those. And sometimes the enemy are using those challenges to stop us from serving God, from having our devotion with God. Sometimes the pressures of life, the destructions of culture, destruction of our surroundings, the weariness of routine, they all act like a steady drizzle on the fire of our faith. What's the result? We can easily find ourselves going through the motions. Our devotion growing cold. Have you experienced that? Like you're just reading the Bible because you have to and you don't feel really like the power of the Word of God. It becomes like a routine. You know, it's like we thaw, like it's a duty rather than devotion. Okay, our service becoming a chore, like it's like a routine also. And our compassion for the lost fading into indifference. So we're going to talk three things later about this. So, but God has not called us to a life of smoldering embers. You know, the charcoal. So it's like, yeah, it's burning, but it doesn't have fire. So, but you have to keep putting charcoal so that it will remain the heat of that. God has called us a blazing inferno for his glory. His desires that the fire in our hearts would not just be a flicker, but a roaring, consuming passion that impacts every area of our lives. This is the fire we must tend to, the passion we must protect. It is a fire that burns in three specific directions. Upward, in our deep passion for God. Inward, the burden for the ministry, and outward, the compassion for the lost. So we're going to talk about these three things. The first one is deep passion for God. Seek Jesus. Do we still have that passion for God in seeking God in our lives? Are we still the same? I mean, the fire in our hearts, the moment we believe in Jesus, the moment we experience all his blessings, is it still the same up to this time? Is our fire, is our desire and passion for God getting deeper and deeper, or sometimes, you know, it's cold? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know we've been hearing this verse. Am I allowed to walk on this stage? It's okay. So, I know everybody knows this verse already. Like, I know you memorize it. You've been hearing it for many, many years or decades. But seek first the kingdom of God. So we need to seek the kingdom of God. And all this, and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that, you know, God answered our prayers? Yes. And do you believe that God will add all the things that we need in our lives? But it's conditional. The first word is, but seek ye first. We cannot just claim all the next promise that all these things shall be added unto you if we don't seek the Lord first and his righteousness. So how do we seek the word of God? How do we seek God in our lives? Like every morning we wake up, we pray, we thank God, and everything we do, we consider God. Cultivate intimacy through our daily devotion. So I do believe that all of you are having devotion every day. Okay, Psalms 42 verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When was the last time that you experienced that you are really thirsty for the Word of God? Because every day we thirst for water, Dr. Pepper, or any drinks, you know. But when was the last time that we feel like that our soul is really longing for God? When David said that, as the deer pants for the water, my soul longing for God. So we need to be thirsty for the Word of God. If we don't feel thirsty, or if we're not hungry for the Word of God, maybe it's either we are doing good, or maybe we forget, you know, we forget to spend time with God. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. We need to seek God in our lives. It doesn't matter like how many of you have been a Christian for more than 50 years. I know there are some here, like more than 50 years. So there are some there, okay? So you've been a Christian for many, many years. And I know you've experienced a lot of things, and it doesn't matter like how long you've been a Christian or what, but we need to, you know, our souls, we would feel that we're longing for God every day. Like we know that we have physical food, we eat. I was about to say we eat rice, so no, I don't think you're eating rice. Asians eat rice every day, three times a day, so... Yeah, you eat every day for our physical food and also our spiritual life also. So we need to eat, we need to read the Word of God daily in our lives. Isaiah 26, verse 9, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. You know, the word sanctification or being holy is intentional. We must desire it first. We need to desire to seek God first. It's not automatic that when you believe in God, when you accepted Jesus Christ, then you will grow spiritually, that your faith will be stronger. It will not happen overnight. We need to seek God, to long for God every day. We need to have a desire to seek God's will in our lives. So, you know, we will only experience the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God the moment we apply His Word. Because if we just read the Word of God, okay, we put it in our minds and our heart, but if we don't apply it, we wouldn't experience the power of it. We will only experience the Word of God the moment we do what we hear. Another thing is we need to live with an attitude of worship. And I know worship is not only singing unto God. Anything we can do can be an act of worship as long as we do it for God. Whether praying, having devotion, helping people, doing ministries. So anything we do can be an act of worship as long as we do it for the Lord. Psalms 95, verses 6 and 7. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Who among you loves to listen to, you know, gospel songs or Christian songs? Do you love to do that? Like early morning, you have your coffee, you're reading the Bible, and you play music. Oh my goodness, one of the best feelings, right? So we need to live an attitude of worship every day. Not only we worship God just whenever we come to the church, we need to worship God also at work, at school, in your house, wherever we are, we can worship God. We cannot just say, oh, Lord, I'm going to work. You just stay there. So it's my will, not your will. Okay? So we need to practice that, living with an attitude of worship and praising God for who He is, for what He has done in our lives. Psalms 84, verse 2, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. When was the last time that we really feel that we felt that we really need God in our lives? When was the last time that you cried out to God? Have you experienced that you're crying out to God because a lot of things going on and you don't know what to do? The only thing that you can do is pray to His name. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Nobody knows. But we know who holds our tomorrow. We know God holds our future. We know God holds our tomorrow. So we need to have a deep passion for God. So we've been Christian for many years, but still every day we need to seek God more. Every time we read the Bible, even though we know the verses already, I know that verses 20 years ago, but the Word of God, I always believe that the Word of God is always relevant. Relevant. You know, like, it's timely. Like, whenever you read it, there's something new. God is telling us different things. You know, you read Matthew 6:33 10 years ago. You read it again 5 years ago, it has different impact. You read it now, Matthew 6:33, it has another impact again. That's the Word of God, how the Word of God lives or works in our lives. So first, deep passion for God. We need to seek Jesus more and more and more. There is no age limit in seeking God. We cannot say like, oh, at the age of 70, I would stop reading the Word of God because I do attend church, I attend Sunday school, something like that. So there's no age limit. As long as we live, okay, as long as we live, we worship God and we seek God in our lives. And that's one thing also that I have seen, that I have observed in the mission field. I mean, I know a lot of missionaries. I serve with some missionaries as well. And this is the first thing that I've recognized, is that the greatest need is that we need to be on fire in seeking God. Because some people, they spend more time serving rather than seeking God. They are so busy for the ministry, for the work, or the kingdom, but they forget the King. So in order for us to be effective in the ministry, in order for us to be effective for the kingdom of God, we need to be effective or have a great relationship, a strong foundation first with the King. So the second thing is burden for the ministry. Serve Jesus. So first, do we have a deep passion for God? Second, do we have a burden? Do we still have a burden for the ministry? Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. There are many Christians, I've experienced that also, like, we call it in the Philippines like SSS. Actually, SSS is Social Security System. But we call it like SSS. There are some Christians like save. Okay, the first S is save. So they believe in Jesus. Sit. Okay, they got saved. They're contented already that there's just sitting and satisfied. Save, sit, satisfied. So there are some Christians, they believe in Jesus, accepted Jesus. They sit down, attend, and then they're okay already for that. So they are satisfied that they are just sitting. So what I want to say is that God gave us different abilities. You can use any talent. You can use any ability that you have for God. And one thing, one of my insecurities, not really insecurities, but yeah, before. I was jealous with these musicians. I tried to play guitar, but I think guitar doesn't like me. So I tried different instruments, but it didn't work. And I don't have a good voice also to sing. I just use it to speak. And it's like, I think, you know, I saw my friends, all of them, like, they can play guitar or any, like, keyboard or piano. Well, my wife plays keyboard. So like, all of them, like, how could you do that? So, like, for me, like, I can't do anything with the music. I was jealous. And then I was thinking, like, maybe I was sleeping when the Lord showered the talents for music. And I wasn't able to catch even one. You know, so I was sleeping. So I don't have any talents with music. But, you know, one thing that I realized that, what do I have that I can use for God? I have a voice. I can speak. I can teach. I can disciple. Not everybody can preach, right? Not everybody are called to be a teachers, to be disciple. Not disciple. To be teachers, to be pastors, to be musicians. Okay, so we have our different callings. And whatever we have, what do you have that you can use for God? Remember David and Goliath, when he killed Goliath, what did he have? Just stones and the slingshot. And how about Moses? The stick, the rod. So small things, but God can use it. God can use you. So we cannot make an excuse like, I have no talent in this one. I'm not good at speaking. I'm shy talking to a lot of people. I'm introverted. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm drowning when there's a lot of people. So, but what do you have that you can use for God? Well, all of us are called to disciple. All of us, you know, you can use your voice to be, you know, usher, sing, or any ministry that you have here. Okay. And another version of that verse, Acts 20:24, is that when Paul said, like, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for God. My life is worth nothing unless I use it for God. So that was my commitment also coming to Cambodia, is that that's why I've been praying for many years, Lord, use my life every day to the people that I would meet. So I don't know how God will use me, but I pray that, Lord, use my life for your glory. And it's all by grace. Who am I now? Whatever I have now, whatever we do in Cambodia, it's all by grace of God. Embrace humility in practical service. Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24. And whatever you do, do it, what? Heartily. As to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we need to do it for the glory of God. Whether you work, you study, you teach, you meet people, everywhere. It says whatever. So anything, whatever you do, do it heartily. What will happen if we do something out of our will? What will happen if you will do it just because you have to do it? We will be tired. We'll be burned out. We would feel tired and we want to give up. Why? Because sometimes we're just doing this because pastor told me so. I'll just do it because my leader told me so. I'll just do it because, you know, the church tells us to do it. If you will do something out of your heart, you know, sometimes even it's hard, you would not quit. You will be tired. You will get hurt. You will rest. You will pause. But you will keep moving forward. You will not stop and get back. So we need to do it for God, not for men. So we are to please God, not to please people. So whenever we do something, are we doing it to please the people so that they would say that we are really committed in God, that we are we have this faith in our lives, or we're doing it, we're serving God because that's what our hearts want to. That's our real desire. Invest in the body through your gifts. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen. We can minister to one another in many ways. Not only like helping, but also like praying for one another, giving advice. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes it's good to listen to other people as well. Just listen to them. Okay, just spend time and then listen to them and you will learn something. And sometimes people just need people who will listen to them. You know what? Like counseling. So not everyone who will go to counseling, like they want an answer. Sometimes they just want to release everything in their hearts. And sometimes we can minister also to those kind of people. Like, just sit down, listen, and like, okay, I'm going to pray for you. I understand you. You're going through a lot of things. And yeah, we can minister. We can use our talents. We can use our voice, our gifts to minister to other believers. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. I believe that it is God who will empower us. And I've been to Cambodia for 11 years, and I didn't expect that I would stay that long in Cambodia. I never thought that God would call me to become a missionary. I never thought that God would call me to become a pastor. Because I was just a simple boy, got saved, simple boy, saved by grace, got saved, got involved in the ministry, life group, discipleship, attended different trainings in the Philippines, and I didn't know that God would bring me. You know, I really wanted to become a businessman, but God has another plan into his business. So I wasn't able to study in university, but I went to Bible school. And I could say that his plan is better than my plans. And I just serve God. It's like, Lord, wherever you may lead me, I'm going to follow you. That's my commitment. And a lot of people ask me, like, how long do you think you're going to stay in Cambodia? And I'm like, as long as God wants me to stay, we're going to stay. And me and my wife, we have been talking. My wife is a mission-minded partner also. She really has a great desire for the ministry. She has a great faith also. And then we've been talking, like, do you have a calling, like God is talking to you, that we need to move to another place? I'm like, no, for now we cannot see any clue or any, sign that we're leaving Cambodia. So for now it's like, what we need to do is to serve God through serving these people, training these people, and we want to see more Cambodians who will, you know, surrender their lives to Jesus. And, yep. So how long? I don't know. We don't know. It's like our second home. You know, sometimes we feel better staying in Cambodia than in the Philippines. Traffic-wise and other things. So, but anyway, yeah, we'll be staying there. Okay, but I'm still Filipino, right? Okay, the last one that I'll tell you is compassion for the lost. So we have deep passion for God, seek Jesus, burden for the ministry, we need to serve Jesus, and compassion for the lost, share Jesus. I'll read this scripture. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Who among you, you meet different people every day, and these people do not have Jesus? Do you encounter people around you? Okay, so when Jesus saw the multitudes, yes, we're not Jesus, but we can be like Jesus. Okay, so when you meet these people at work, at school, do you see them that these people need Jesus? We need to see people through Jesus' eyes? Do we have desire to share the salvation that we receive to these people around us? Jesus was moved with compassion. How about us? When we see people who are not saved yet. That's why I remember, like, 2015 when I was in Cambodia. I met a lot of people in Cambodia who have not heard the name Jesus, and that burdened me a lot. They think Jesus is another God or foreign God. They don't know God. They don't know the Bible. And like me, growing up, like, from the Philippines, like, knowing that considered as Christian nation, coming to a Buddhist nation is completely different. And like that burdens me a lot. Like, these people need the gospel. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So, Cambodia is pretty open. And I said, like, this is the best time to get in and share the gospel. Because there are more missionaries coming. More ministries are building up. And we know that God is working in this nation. I think Cambodia is one of the fastest growing Christian nations in Southeast Asia, after Philippines and South Korea. Okay, so we need to see people through Jesus' eyes. We need to look at each one in our family or at work that they need Jesus. This person needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. She needs Jesus. If we will look at people that we're thinking like they need Jesus, you know, we have that burden to share the gospel to them. I remember one pastor preached before. If we are not evangelizing, if we're not sharing the salvation to other people, we are selfish. Because we want that only us will go to heaven. So if you meet your coworkers every day, and you have not attempted to share the gospel, maybe you have to think something. You have to stop and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to reach them with the gospel. Because you're Christian, you're aware that when we die, we'll go to heaven. We meet these people every day, but we don't have a burden for them to get to heaven also. So it means we become selfish. That's according to the one pastor, okay, that I heard. So, but we need to see people through Jesus' eyes, okay? Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive the power, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." You can share the gospel in your family, you can share the gospel in your neighborhood, you can share the gospel at work, share the gospel at school. There are a lot of places in Asia you cannot even walk holding the Bible. You're not allowed to say the word Jesus, or else you're gonna die. Well, in Cambodia it's open, but you cannot, until now, you cannot just preach in public. You cannot just go to the market and preach the gospel. But we are allowed to have churches, to have gatherings, as long as, you know, we ask permission from the government. Okay, so we need to look at these people that they need Jesus, as I did. You know, my life before, I was in fifth grade when I started smoking. I used to drink as well, alcohol. Also, I used to say bad words, cursing people whenever I'm happy and mad. So that's my life before. It's like, that's why I needed God to change my life. And I look at these people also that, you know, God can save them. And these people need Jesus. We cannot just look at them. They have a lot of tattoos. They are drug addict, or, you know, like, they have a lot of, like, vices or alcoholic. So that's the normal people's eyes view. Like, you look at them like, oh, that's a bad person. But if we look at them the way Jesus sees them, the way Jesus saw them, is that we will know and we will understand and realize that these people need Jesus. Despite of their backgrounds, Jesus can save them. Jesus can change their lives. Amen. Be intentional with our testimony. Be intentional with our testimony. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord your God, the Lord God, in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Especially for us missionary, I've been telling our missionaries in Cambodia, like, we really have to be careful with our testimonies because everybody's looking at us. Like all Cambodians, they're looking at us, and one mistake will give different impression to them. We need to be intentional with our testimony. Now the question is, how is your testimony? How is your testimony inside? I know all of us are behaved inside the church, right? So, but how is our testimony at home? So because I've been hearing in Asia, like, they went to the church. When they arrived to the church, they're shouting again, and they're like this, so they fight. And then, but Sunday, they're behave. Okay, let's go to the church. Oh, worship God. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. So, but after days, on the weekdays, they forget that they're Christians. You know, one thing that we should not forget is that every day we need to be intentional with our testimony, because our identity, we're children of God. Wherever we go, that's our identity. That people will look at you as a Christian. People will look at you as a child of God. So that's our identity. Wherever we go, we cannot deny it. That's our identity. So we are children of God, and sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. So whenever we feel depressed or tired or disappointed or, you know, challenged, we need to sanctify our lives with the Word of God. Go to God. Pray, cry out to God, ask God to help you. The Holy Spirit will empower us every day. The Holy Spirit will teach us. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So the power of the Holy Spirit will give us power to testify the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who will give us wisdom and power to share the gospel. And have you experienced sharing the gospel and then they rejected you? I've experienced that. How did you feel? Yeah, maybe if you would feel that, like, many times, you would feel disappointed. Like, why are these people rejecting the salvation? Why are there people rejecting Jesus? But you know what? Always remember this. Like, whenever we share the gospel and they rejected us, it is not us that they rejected. It is God. It is the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus that they rejected. But for us, what's our job? We just need to share and share and share the gospel. So I think we need to be on fire with these things, like passion for God, our passion for the ministry, and also like sharing the word of God to other people. Because sometimes we are being complacent. We are satisfied already that, okay, I go to church every Sunday. Oh, I spent my life 40 years already in the ministry, so I think this is the time for the younger ones to do the evangelism. But as I said, like, there is no age limit. Right? There's no retirement in God. So you know what? Whether you are 8 years old, 70 years old, you can still share the gospel. We cannot just say, like, at the age of 50, I will stop sharing the gospel because I spent 30 years, 40 years already. We can't do that, right? So, as we see in the Old Testament, like, God used these people, Moses, Joseph, and others, like, they observed God whole their life. They spent their entire life to serve God and preach the kingdom of God. I will close here. I need to stay. I think I would be over time 2 minutes. So, you gave me 40 minutes. I still have 1 minute. So, but I'll ask for another 2 minutes. All right, so anyway, I'll close here. Let our light shine before men. I know everybody knows this verse. Matthew 5:13-16, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. City that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Whenever it's blackout, maybe some of you have emergency lights, or maybe you use the candle or candle lamp. When it's blackout, so it's dark in your house, you put the candle on top of the table, right? On the table, not under the table. Have you experienced that? It's completely dark and you put the lamp under the table. So it doesn't serve the purpose, right? So it means the purpose of light is to give light in the darkness. The purpose of that lamp is to be on the table so that it gives light to, in the house. So now, the purpose of that light is that we carry the light in our lives. The moment we receive Jesus Christ, there is light in us. Now, the question is, do you put your light on the table or do you hide it under the table? So it means our testimony. Do people know and recognize that we are Christians? Because I've been telling in Cambodia also. I know like some of our leaders still like they receive persecution, but their parents only, like from their parents, like they would say like, oh, you're always going to the church again, and then like the whole family, they are Buddhist, and then you're Christian, something like that, but within family, not really in public, but in family. And then how strong are you to carry that testimony that you're Christian? How strong are you to bring that light so that these people who are in darkness would be able to see your light? And it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? Glorify your Father in heaven. I know there's a lot of people who are older than me. You experience a lot of things already that I haven't experienced. But this one, it's for everyone, you know, that we need to bring light to people. Live a life of visible integrity. You know, integrity, you're doing what is right, even no one is looking. We have that solid character. So we share the gospel, not because pastor is watching. I'll share the gospel because my leader is watching. Whether no one is watching you, we are living that integrity in our lives that I am a child of God, and this is my testimony. And I think that's a great reminder for all of us to just keep the fire burning in our hearts. Because if it gets cold, we might need someone to help us, you know, rekindle the light. Or we might need the Word of God, get into the Word of God so that we will be on fire again. And yeah. So, seek Jesus, share, and serve Jesus. Can I close in prayer?
Yes.
All right, can we close our eyes and bow our heads? Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we praise you, and we lift up your name. Lord, you are worthy of our praises. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We're asking for forgiveness for every sin that we have committed. Lord, forgive us for the times that we follow our own will rather than following you. Forgive us for the times that we neglect your word. And sometimes we forget you. Lord, forgive us for all the sins that we have done. Lord, I pray that you would give us clean hearts, clean minds, and clean hands, O Lord. We pray that our lives would be pleasing unto you. And I pray for this church. Lord, thank you for their desire for the missions. Thank you for their hearts for the lost people outside the United States. Lord, I pray that all of us will continue to grow more, to be like you, Jesus. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to know you more in our lives. Please continue to direct our steps. And Lord, please continue to give us burden for the ministry and for sharing the word to other people, sharing salvation to other people. Lord, I pray that you would use our lives for your kingdom. Use our lives mightily and effectively for your kingdom. And help us, Lord, help us to spread your love to other people. Help us, Lord, to continue the joy in our hearts in serving you. And Father, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would continue to guide us every single day. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to remain in a season of prayer for just a moment with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Surely with the full weight of God's word on display today, the verses that have been read, the challenge that has been presented, God has dealt with you. As you consider your own life, your passion for the Lord, does it propel you to seek Christ, to serve him, and to share him with those who are lost? I ask you to consider what you've heard today. Consider how the Lord has spoken to you through the word. And respond even now, asking the Lord to strengthen you, forgive you, embolden you, to stoke the passion and fire of seeking him. Whatever it is that God has done, let's take a moment of quiet reflection and prayer, and let's commit this time to him. Let's pray.